Let me pray as we open, and we'll get going. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to worship alongside my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm thankful for the word that you've given us that can lead to salvation for those who do not yet believe. Lord, we're thankful for the whole Christmas season, this month of the year where we spend thinking about and celebrating your first coming, your birth, the fact that you came as a little infant, as a baby, the God-man, and you live that perfect life. So, Lord, let us not just, I pray tonight, Lord, that we will see the Christmas story through new eyes in such a way that we get excited to not only celebrate Christmas with new eyes, but we are excited to share the gospel, to share the great news, the celebration of what Christmas provides to us through the birth of Christ. I'm thankful for these students and these leaders especially. Lord, would you bless our night tonight together? Amen. All right. I am very excited for Christmas to arrive. But while I've been waiting, I've been thinking of some movies that would be really great to watch over Christmas break. What was the name of the movie, you guys that were up here, that you thought you couldn't act out? Miracle on 34th Street. How many of you guys have ever seen Miracle on 34th Street? Okay. Jonathan, is it possible to get that thing going again? And, okay, you're already ready. You're like 20 steps ahead of me. I love him. He's smart. Okay. So for those of you who haven't seen Miracle on 34th Street, here's the deal. There's a little girl named Susan who meets a man named Chris, right? And who she is 100% sure is Santa Claus. Of course, no one else believes her, and Chris is eventually taken to court where he must prove that he is, in fact, Santa. Well, he goes to court, and he does. He proves that. Okay? It's not a total spoiler alert. The movie's 70 years old, so you've had plenty of time to see it if you haven't already. It's a fun, happy, feel-good movie. But there's one scene I find really interesting. It's at the very end, where Susie and Santa have parted ways, and the adults still don't believe that Chris was actually Santa, although they are glad that he won the court case. And Susie and her mom still don't have their dream house, but then this happens. Can you play that slide?
I believe.
Susie,
where are you?
Susie, I'm upstairs.
Calm right down. You know you shouldn't run around in other people's houses. You know better than that.
But this is my house, Mommy. The one I asked Mr. Kringle for. It is. I know it is. My room upstairs is just like I knew it would be. Oh, you were right, Mommy. Mommy told me if things don't turn out just the way you want them to the first time, you still got to believe. And I kept believing, and you were right, Mommy. Mr. Kringle is Santa Claus.
Where are you going?
To see if there's a swing. There is one.
You told her that? Sign said it's for sale. We can't let her down.
I never really doubted you. It was just my silly common sense.
It even makes sense to believe in me now. I must be a pretty good lawyer. I'd take a little old man and legally prove to the world that he's Santa Claus. Now, you know that...
Chris's cane.
Oh, no, it can't be. It must have been left here by the people that moved out.
Maybe. Maybe I didn't do such a wonderful thing after all.
All right, you can fade it out, Jonathan. I appreciate it. I know, it's cheesy, but the best Christmas movies are pretty cheesy. Best Christmas movies have another thing in common, too. In every great Christmas movie, generally something miraculous happens. Have you guys noticed that? Why do you think something always magical or miraculous happens during Christmas movies? I love it. Both of those are correct. Because of Jesus, and it's a Christmas miracle. Yeah. All right. Maybe the reason Christmas is so filled with stories of the miraculous is that most people are very desperate to see a miracle happen in their own lives. Once a year, I think most people believe it's fun to imagine what life would be like if miracles really did happen. Don't get me wrong. Most people want to believe in miracles, but most people simply don't. For most people, miracles are things that only happen in the movies. Why do you guys think it's so hard for people to believe in miracles? What do you think? Because you don't think you see him every day? Why else? Okay. What do you guys believe about miracles? What do you think? What do you guys believe about miracles? Good, Dan. Good, Luke. God inspired. I mean, do you think that miracles still happen? Is there something just in Scripture? What do you think, Mara? Say it again. An Easter egg surprise miracle. I don't know. But yes, they are God inspired. Oh, God did that. Oh, yeah. All right. How many of you guys have ever experienced what's the difference between a miracle and a coincidence? Do you guys believe in coincidences? Do you believe in miracles? Do you think there's a difference between the two? I'm getting a whole lot of, I don't want to do anything because he's going to call on me. All right. So I believe miracles still happen. I believe that sometimes people unjustly label something as a miracle when it could be a coincidence. And sometimes there are things that happen that they just want to say is a coincidence, but it's really God working in their lives. I hope that many of you guys have experienced some things in your life that you can only attribute to God's work in your life. Something that by no other way could actually happen. Actually, the fact that you all are sitting here right now, you all are a bunch of little miracles. Moms and dads were thinking, oh, you're a miracle. I mean, it's pretty amazing, right? Most of you guys have been through health class right now. It's pretty a miracle how that all happens. So let me tell you, though, about some things that have happened in my own life, just quickly. Like, God has done some amazing things that I attribute as a miracle to him, something that only he could do. For example, when some of you guys have heard the story, when Angel and I decided that we wanted to have children, Ari is our firstborn child, and I was kind of like working for a company that didn't have insurance at the time, but it was like 100% commission. And I tell you what, if you want to work on your prayer life, work for a company where all you get paid is for what you sell, okay? So it was a good job, and but we go to the doctor appointment when we find out, hey, we're pregnant, or she's pregnant. They say, great, the baby's healthy, and by the way, by our next appointment in 1 month, you owe us $2,400, $435 and like 80 cents. Like, it's something like really quirky like that. Newlyweds, just graduated college. We don't have $2,438.50. Like, we didn't have that amount of money. And so we're thinking, okay, well, praise the Lord, we're going to have a baby, but we don't have the money, what are we going to do? And that afternoon, it was pretty amazing. I get a phone call from someone who I'd just done an estimate for the previous day, and they said, hey, I want to move forward with this project. I'm like, hey, can you remind me who this is again? And she said her name, and this was like a massive job. And she's like, yeah, I'd like to go ahead and move forward with this job. When can we get it started? And no kidding, the commission on that job was $2,438 and some change, right? God had already taken care of our need before we even knew that we had it. I mean, it was wacky that it was like to the dollar. And we're just thinking, thank you, Lord. Or the time that God opened up my eyes, our eyes, to the possibility of going into full-time missions. Let me tell you, like, okay, coincidence or miracle? You guys be the judge of this, okay? Angel and I, for 6 months, are praying to the Lord. Lord, do you want me to continue in banking so that we can support international and local missions? Or do you want me to quit my job and go to seminary to become a pastor? Or do you want to call us to the mission field? 6 months of this praying. No answers. Just praying. We just finished a book one night. Before we go to bed, we're praying. The book was about technology in the mission field. And I was thinking, hey, Angel, if we ever go to the mission field, I'd like to learn as much as I can about microfinance, about the opportunity to use finance, which was my background, on the mission field. So I want to learn as much as I can about that. So if God does call us to the mission field, we'll be ready to use this as a platform for ministry. Okay, pray that the night before. We go to bed, don't think anything of it. Angel's like, yeah, that sounds kind of good. I'm sitting at a meeting with one of my clients the next day, big boardroom. We got different, like an actuary over here, and he's sitting there with this fancy new golf shirt on. It says MRI. I said, hey, what's that shirt stand for? And he's like, oh, it was a golf outing I was at yesterday. I'm like, okay, great. What is this nonprofit that you were at for the golf outing? He says, well, they're called Missions Resources International. They do microfinance in East Africa. And my jaw drops and hits the floor. I'm thinking, wow, Lord, you finally answered our prayer in an amazing way. That the night before, my jaw drops, and he's like, what's wrong? And I said, well, my wife and I were just praying last night that I could meet someone here locally, that I could start to learn as much as I can about microfinance. So if God calls us to the mission field, that we'll be ready to go. So God answers prayer. Like, I don't want to say, like, every time you have an answered prayer that that's a miracle, but I want to attribute it to God. I don't believe that to be coincidence. I believe that to be divinely inspired. I believe that to be a miracle in my life. So there are probably many other things that you guys have seen. Maybe you've had a family member that's been really sick. I was just talking to a friend of mine who's one of their congregation members, got a really bad diagnosis from a doctor. Said, you've got a massive something inside of you. Like, it showed up on a scan. And we're going to need to do tests on it immediately. And so the in-between night, that night, he had the elders lay hands on him, pray. And no kidding, they went. They scanned the whole area the next day. And this massive thing that was inside of him was completely gone. Was not even there. Like, it wasn't like, hey, he was healed. It just wasn't there. And they were sure that they had the scan right. So I think things like this happen. Okay? And that's what I want to talk about tonight. So I know it's difficult to believe in something miraculous, especially when you don't have any physical proof or scientific evidence that it actually happened. We hear stories of diseases being cured with no explanation, people walking away from vehicles that were totaled in an accident without even a scratch on their body. We hear about stories of unexpected money arriving just at the nick of time, but it's still difficult to believe that many of these things really happen. Maybe because we simply haven't seen the evidence, or because we're afraid to get our hopes up. But many of us believe that God is no longer in the miracle business, if he ever was at all. And I think that he is, and I hope that after you see tonight how he can still use you. I think there's another reason we hear so many miracle stories around the holidays. Although most movies attribute it to a Christmas miracle, right? To Santa, to his elves, the real Christmas story is one long string of God-made miracles. Whether you're fully on board with these miracles or they leave you with a raised eyebrow, these are the miracles that the Bible says make up the Christmas story. The virgin birth, right? When the angel told Mary that she was going to have a baby, she was pretty confused. I'm not sure how I'd feel about that particular miracle if I were Mary. But let's just say she probably handled it better than I would, right? If you want to see how she handled it, we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke today. The announcement, the birth of Jesus was announced by angels, heavenly beings that showed up and spoke to humans announcing the good news of Jesus' birth. Pretty miraculous, right? The star. A star appeared in the sky for the singular purpose of leading people to the location of baby Jesus. The incarnation, my goodness, this is an amazing miracle. But let's not forget the greatest of them all. God himself, the creator of the universe, came to earth, became human, and that's pretty miraculous. And if that miracle, and that's the miracle I want to focus on. But because you see, Christmas has always been about miracles, but in the real Christmas story, it's God who makes the miraculous possible and the unbelievable a reality. So like we've mentioned the last week and this week, the story of God is filled with stories of the miraculous both before and after Jesus showed up. In the Old Testament, you see a lot of stories of God parting the seas and delivering bread down from the heavens and burning bushes and sending plagues and delivering people from pretty terrible circumstances. But in the New Testament, you see Jesus miraculously healing people of diseases, multiplying food to feed the hungry, raising people from the dead, and raising himself from the dead as well. All of those miracles are incredible, but I still believe that the most miraculous thing that God has ever done was to become human. When Jesus was born, God didn't just perform another fancy miracle to demonstrate his power and might. He flipped our understanding of miracles on its head. So for the miracle of Christmas, God set aside his power and might and chose to humble himself. He became the miracle. So flip over to Philippians chapter 2, please. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. Okay, Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself to becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, Christmas is about celebrating that God can do the unbelievable. Of course, becoming human, living for us, dying for us, and then coming back to life for us were all pretty unbelievable things. But what's even more unbelievable and miraculous is the fact that Jesus chose to do this. Before the creation of the world, before humans even existed, before time even existed, Jesus chose that he was going to come and be born and to die on the cross. When Jesus was born in that manger on that first Christmas day, he knew exactly what he was doing. The fact that he chose that path and made that sacrifice for us is truly miraculous. Now flip over to Luke chapter 1. I've been reading the Gospel of Luke this month as part of my time with God each morning, and it has been super. I mean, it has been something that's really just changed my whole countenance. I mean, it's changed my outlook on life, and I would encourage you guys to dig into God's Word each and every day, and if you need a place to start, the Gospel of Luke would be a great time, especially right now. Okay. Starting in verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, How can this be? How will this be since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth is in old age and also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Okay. The story of Jesus' birth would have been much different if Mary looked at the angel and said, No thanks, right? We would have had a very different story if Joseph had decided to go through with his quiet divorce and leave Mary alone in this newfound pregnancy. Mary and Joseph were two ordinary people who were given the opportunity to be part of something extraordinary. And they took that opportunity. The story of Christmas started with a yes and it ended with a miracle. What do you guys think that Mary and Joseph sacrificed in order to be used by God? Elizabeth. What was it? Respect. Yeah, that's part of it, for sure. Reputation and respect. Yeah, those were the two words on top of my mind as well. So in case you thought the Christmas story couldn't get any more incredible or miraculous, the story of Mary and Joseph remind us that it can be. Perhaps the most unbelievable Christmas news of all is that God, who can do the miraculous, not only continues to do miracles today, but invites us, ordinary people, to join him in that work. God doesn't need us, but he wants to use us. He invites us to be a part of the story he is continuing to write in the world today. Let me be clear when I say that God knows everything that will ever happen. There is not any changing of the future. Just the story of our lives as it continues to unfold, he wants us to be a part of being a blessing to others if we will be able to be used by God. I just want to be clear on that, okay? In the story of his unexpected and undeserved and unbelievable grace, if we're willing to say yes, we can help in his kingdom work. I'm going to, for the sake of time, kind of jump down to my second point. Things that you might, though, consider, like, you know, just as stepping stones to figure out what that sacrifice is going to look like. I'm guessing God isn't going to ask you to do exactly what he asked Mary or Joseph to do, but he might ask you to begin by praying for someone who's sick or showing up for someone who's very lonely or providing for someone who's in need or going somewhere, maybe a mission trip, to do something or say something that terrifies you. Talk to someone who needs to hear about the incredible story of God's grace. And maybe that doesn't sound very miraculous to you, but I believe that when we listen to God's guidance, we will find ourselves caught up in the stories that truly will be miraculous for someone else. So often we think of miracles as big and dramatic and possible events. Is everything okay in the back row? Okay. Are you all right? You good? Okay. All right. So often we think that miracles are big and dramatic and possible events, but don't forget that miracles can be found in the tiny little details of our lives as well. Just like God has done and done the unbelievable in the past, he wants to use you to do the unbelievable again. Even now, God is working behind the scenes to create modern-day miracles, and I hope that you'll say yes when he invites you to join him. Now, you guys might not have caught this, but when we were playing games earlier up on the screen, did you guys notice anything about those games in particular that stuck out to you, besides them being Christmas-themed? Anything that stuck out to you? Random guess. I'll give you a pizza if you can tell me the common thing from those games. It's really hard. Joyce? She nailed it. She nailed it. See, got it. You have a pizza. You can have it for your small group. How about that? All right. Nailed it. All right. Okay. Throughout the entire game, both games, I had to actually be very particular in making sure that I didn't include any like songs or anything that had something to do with the actual Christmas story. But Jesus is the entire reason that we have Christmas, but we didn't mention him once earlier. And why do you think sometimes in our world, Jesus is so often overlooked in the Christmas story? Why do you think that is? Emily. Okay. It adapted, right? It changed. It evolved. It became something that it was not originally. All right, Carter, what else? Very commercialized, right? Just Like Charlie Brown Christmas. Yeah, that's a good one. I love that movie. It's really good. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. There are so many fun things about Christmas that aren't directly related to Jesus, but those things aren't bad, like building gingerbread houses and things like that. We can continue to enjoy those because I certainly will be next week and for the next couple of weeks if you guys like Christmas cookies. I think there's a lot floating around tonight. Actually, some right here too. I'm just pointing out how often Jesus gets overlooked or ignored, even in the middle of the holiday that celebrates his birth. So we talked about traditions that you guys like to do around your homes and in your families, like movies and things you do over Christmas break. We've got a white elephant gift exchange coming up on the first. When I say the words white elephant gift exchange, does everybody know what that is? Or does anybody not know what a white elephant gift exchange is? Because I would love to explain it. Okay. White elephant gift exchange can sometimes be you get a really crummy gift from someone for Christmas, and then you re-gift it. Or you just find something really funny in your house that's been there for a long time. I gave away my prom crown last year to Eric Dunlap. I think he's got it. Like, I've been holding on to it for 20 years. I didn't need it anymore. Like, so you just find something that you think, okay, that's funny, and you give it away. So, all right. Da-da-da-da-da. All right, there's one Christmas tradition, quickly, that in my opinion does have some biblical support, and it's re-gifting, okay? You didn't think that the entire story. The shepherds organizing a white elephant gift exchange. All right, hear me out. I'm just kidding. It's definitely not true. But Luke chapter 2 tells us a story about some shepherds, and it actually is true. So look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, and I'm going to briefly share with you what happened here. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the flock, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, and that will be for all people." Man. I wrote a note there this week, and it was just a good reminder right now. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Hey, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Okay. There was no mention of a white elephant gift exchange, but I actually was serious about them re-gifting. Okay? All right, so let's see a connection here. You see, the shepherds received an incredible gift that night. They had the opportunity to be among the first people to meet Jesus and the baby who would one day save the entire world, the baby who was God himself. They were given the great news that the Savior of the world had arrived, and his name was Jesus. And then look at what they did. They gave to others. First, they went straight to Bethlehem to share what they had heard, and they went quickly. There is no indication in Scripture that they hesitated or questioned. They simply obeyed. They received this incredible, undeniable gift, and they couldn't move fast enough to give the gift away to somebody else. Tonight in your small groups, I hope you guys will take just a little bit of time to talk about who was it that gave you the gift of telling you about Jesus for the first time and letting that sink in. And then I also want you guys to challenge yourself with thinking, have you been able to give that gift to anyone else, right? The shepherds were really ramped up to see this baby Jesus and to go tell other people about it, and they were giving it and doing and being obedient. So when we give the gift of Jesus to others, it has a huge impact on our faith. Ultimately, they gave back to God. Look at what the shepherds did next. They did not return home. They did return home. They glorified God, praising God the entire way. God had given them an incredible gift, and they knew it. So they gave it back. They gave back to God the only thing they had to give: their gratitude, their love, and their praise. So hopefully, you take some time tonight in small groups and after you leave to really ponder not only the gift of Jesus through the Advent story, but really the things that God has blessed you with, and offer those back to God as with a grateful heart. This month, we've been talking about the incredible gift that God has given us, the gift of Jesus. Incredible gift. We said it was unexpected. We said it was undeserved. We said it was unbelievable. And through the gift of Jesus, we see that his goodness is absolutely undeniable. So anyone who has received this incredible gift of Jesus can tell you that. I can tell you that. So many people in this room can tell you that. And these shepherds who were present at Jesus' birth could absolutely tell you that. The shepherd story shows us that God is undeniably deserving of our praise and our adoration. He deserves worship for the unexpected grace and mercy. He deserves worship for the undeserved gift of his son he sent to die for us. And worship for the unbelievable miracles he is still doing and inviting us to be a part of. So, we're closing with this. On Christmas, God gave us the gift of himself, the gift of hope for salvation. If you don't have hope for salvation, if you don't know what comes next after your death, there are many people here tonight that would like to share with you that eternity is a very long time, and that the only way to spend eternity with God is to receive that free gift of salvation that was only made possible through the birth, death, burial, and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. Okay, that is a free gift of salvation because he was that perfect sacrifice that we so desperately needed to be payment for our sin. And it is a free gift, and it's a gift that I hope that you will, with new eyes, because when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the Holy Spirit, who can now open your eyes to the truths of God's word that you may have read before, but never understood because you don't have the Holy Spirit. So I pray that tonight, that our lives would be worshipful towards him. Let's respond and give back to him together. Let's celebrate that God's goodness is clearly undeniable. So let me pray, and then we'll head off into our small groups. Jesus, what a sweet name we get to say and enjoy, Lord, that you are our Savior, that those of us who have trusted in you have now become co-heirs with you in the kingdom. Lord, we are so thankful for your word that we can open up anytime we want and see the miraculous things that you've done all throughout Scripture and that you continue to do in this fallen world that we live in. Lord, I pray that you would work even a greater miracle tonight, that you would transform a heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Lord, I pray that you do the miracle of opening someone's eyes to the necessity of repenting of their sin and trusting in you for the first time. Lord, I thank you for the ongoing miracle that you can continue, that your grace and mercy overflows, that when we sin, you are merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. We serve a wonderful God. So Lord, I pray that tonight, those that don't yet know you as their Lord would make the decision to follow you tonight. Lord, I ask these things in your powerful name. Amen.